And you're like, okay, that's a 40-minute commitment. I promise this, I'll try to keep this like brief, brief-ish. But I want to offer just some this morning as we talk about this idea of encouragement. We spent some time looking at encouragement. I want you just for a moment, just think of a time where you where someone really encouraged you, or maybe offered you words of encouragement, and maybe especially like during when you're getting ready for something really massive. Maybe moving into a big chapter, or maybe there's something scary that was in front of you and someone stepped in and offered you words of encouragement. Maybe it was there was a big surgery coming up and someone shared something really encouraging with you. Or it could have been like, you know, if you're in high school or you can think back to those years, like maybe there's a big game or a big performance coming up and someone shared something, a word of encouragement with you. Or maybe there's a big presentation or you were getting ready for, like, we're just celebrating a big milestone of graduating or a new job or whatever that may be, parenting, right? Think back to those moments of encouragement, you know, and how much those words stuck with you. Because that's the beauty of encouragement, right? These when people offer encouragement, those words stick with you, hopefully, that you carry with them. You remember them when times get difficult. And so this morning, I want to just briefly look at Ephesians 3. We're going to look at a prayer that Paul gives. And that this prayer is meant to kind of do, as you're thinking back to those moments, it's meant to be a sense of encouragement. And especially an encouragement as we're embarking on whatever the journey is that's ahead of us. You know, whether that's a massive milestone or a career or parenting, whatever that may be. And I think Paul is sharing these words. It's like, as you embark on this next journey, don't forget this. Remember these things. And remember these words when you hit those moments that are chaotic, scary, unknown. And so I want to, this morning, I want to unpack that together. My hope is as we do this, that we'll take these words to heart. That we'll let these words, just like the encouragement maybe we got from other people, that we'll let these words from Paul stick with us. And that we can recall them to memory. And so if you got your Bibles with you and you want to read along with me, we're going to be in, as it says there, Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. But if you'd rather just listen, I'll be reading these words out loud. But before we do that, I want to give a little bit of context of where we're at, because I'm kind of jumping right in the middle of Ephesians 3. Up to this point in Ephesians, Paul has been explaining how amazing it is, right, that God has saved us through Jesus, and that he's brought different people together into one big family called the church. And so he's been kind of, for the past three chapters, or, you know, I guess two and a half leading up to this point, he's been teaching on it. He's been kind of reminding people that the beauty of that truth, those truths. But then starting in verse 14, Paul shifts from teaching, and he begins this really beautiful prayer. And what he prays that people wouldn't just know Jesus, but that they would be changed from him by the inside out, changed by him from the inside out. Right, he prays that they're knowing him doesn't just be something that is intellectual, but be something that's deep and causes life, really honest life transformation. And so knowing that, I just want to just jump into this passage, and then we'll unpack it together. But this is what Paul prays in Ephesians 3. He says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So there's a lot in here, and I could we could probably spend hours dissecting all the things in here. So I'm going to just kind of hit a few highlights I want us to be thinking about. But I would encourage you this week, if you want, this is a really encouraging prayer to really just sit with and meditate on. But like I said, this morning I want to focus on a couple things. And specifically, right, in this moment, Paul is praying that the Holy Spirit empowers the Ephesians that he's writing to do two things. That they would let Christ dwell in their hearts, and that he would let the love of Christ mold and shape them. But first I want to just start with that first one, right? With that letting Christ dwell in their hearts. What does that mean? What does that look like? Well, that Greek word for dwell, it literally means just to settle down or take up permanent residence. And so what he's saying is that he's inviting them that Christ doesn't just be a visitor, doesn't just be someone that even just comes and occupies like a room in the house, but he says that he takes up permanent residence. That he comes and he lives and changes things and rearranges things, right? Because that's when you move into a place, that's kind of what you do. That you rearrange things. Because this is where I'm going to live. This is where I'm going to be. I think back after me and Diana got married, she moved into the parsonage I was living in, and I remember right before she moved in, I remember my brother came to visit me. And he says, "Oh, dude, you definitely live here." Like he's like, "I'm like, what do you mean?" He goes, "This looks like when you think of just a dude living by himself, this is it. Like this is exactly it." He goes, "There's like sweet baby Ray's left on the counter. There's food still out." He goes, as Diana moved in, right, slowly she began changing things for the better, that like there was no longer sweet baby Ray's just left out on the counter overnight, or there wasn't the house was colorful, it was vibrant, things actually made sense in the way I arranged furniture, and like, so it's like she made our house better, right? She made our house feel like a home. And it, and over time as we just kind of, it began to feel like her place, not just a place she moved into. And I think that's what kind of Paul wants us to think about, that when he reads us, that when that what it's like when Jesus actually moves in and takes up residence, that he starts to transform, and that the more space we give him, the more he shapes our lives into something that's fuller and that is more beautiful than we could have ever imagined or made on our own. And so what he's praying is that we don't just have Jesus be an accessory to our lives, but that he's praying for them to let Jesus be the center of it, that they'd entrust every aspect of their life to him. But he also acknowledges that this isn't something that they can just roll up their sleeves and do on their own. He says they need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, that with the Holy Spirit's help, that he prays that they be empowered to surrender and give them control and full access to their life. Because the reality is, right, that's really tough for us. Like we're not ones to really let go of control and to surrender control. I know I'm not. I know I can sometimes seem really chill, but I really like being in control. And so this is a reminder. What he's saying is, man, if there's anything I want you to be thinking about as you move forward, is like, let Christ dwell in your hearts. Let him have the keys, so to speak. Let him move in and trust him with every aspect of your life. But he doesn't stop there, right? He prays that they let Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, let him dwell in their hearts, let him take up residence. But he also prays that the Holy Spirit empowers them to grasp and experience the love of Christ. Right? He kind of uses the words rooted and established. He prays that they be rooted and established in his love, and that they be secure in his love, understanding how massive it is, and that they just doesn't just be like an intellectual exercise for them, but that they actually experience it in a real life-changing way. So this idea of rooted, I think of like when we lived in Battleground, we used to have these big, massive trees that would be in our backyard, and as the storms would come, like they would, the really, especially like the ones that were just had been there for years and years and years. That no matter what happened, like no matter what the winds did, they always just kind of stayed rooted. That the winds could be howling, the rain could be pounding, and everything around it could be just kind of shaking, but the tree wouldn't fall. And it's because its roots were deep. It was planted in good soil, and it was anchored and rooted in the ground. And I think what that's the image I think he wants us to have when you think about being secure in our love of Christ. Because let's be honest, right? Life can be chaotic. Life can be difficult. It can be confusing. But when we're rooted in the love of Christ, that we can stand strong in the face of those things. Because we know that even when everything else changes, the love of Christ doesn't. That when everything else seems tumultuous, he says that we can be anchored in that love. And the more time we spend near it, like leaning on it, sheltering under it, the more we experience how strong and steady it is. And so what he's encouraging them to do is that through the power of the Holy Spirit, he says, man, rest in that. You grasp and experience it. Have it not just be a mental exercise, but be something you actually experience. But he says, once again, just like he did with the first point, he says, we can't just do it on our own. We need the Holy Spirit to help us because Christ's love is so massive. Right? He talks about the vastness of it, the height, the depth, the width, all of it. He goes, it is something we can't just try harder to understand and do. He goes, well, it just is beyond us. But it is something that is so beautiful when the Holy Spirit allows us to experience it, it changes us. And when we can be rooted and established on it, it becomes that thing that helps anchor us with whatever we're going through. So he prays for these two things, right? He prays that they be empowered by the Holy Spirit to let Christ dwell in their hearts and to know the fullness of his love. And the reason he prays that, he tells us in verse 19 that they may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And so he's praying these things so that way, he says, that the end result when we do that is that we become filled with God's presence, character, and love. In other words, that we become transformed from the inside out by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? That we become completely transformed. I love in Galatians 5, he gives us a snapshot of like what that looks like. That he describes a life shaped by Christ's presence as this. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So when we look at that, what he's reminding us is that when Christ takes up residence and we're rooted in his love, that this is the fruit that God, through the Holy Spirit, bears in our life. Not instantly, but steadily. And when God fills our life, as we, he tells us in verses 20 and 21, that we can have the reassurance that when we trust him, when we give our lives and we allow him to change us from the inside out, that he can do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine, both in us and through us. And so what does that mean for us? Well, there's two things I want to just kind of challenge us with, encourage us with this morning, right? Because like I said, this prayer is meant to be an encouragement, almost like as you head out on this journey, don't forget these two things. Number one is don't just let Jesus in, hand him the keys. And what I mean by that is giving him the keys isn't about control, but it's more about trusting him and saying, Jesus, I want you in every space of my life, my relationships, my goals, my habits, my future. Like, I trust you because I know that you're good and loving, and I can entrust you with all these things in my life. It's about making him the center of our lives, not ourselves the center of our lives. Rich Velotis, in his book, The Deeply Foreign Life, puts it this way. He goes, the invitation of Jesus is not to add him to our already busy lives, but to reorient our lives around him. And so when we say, Jesus, I invite you to be the center of every part of my life, we're asking, God, Holy Spirit, help me to reorient my life around Jesus, not be the other way around. And so maybe that means inviting Jesus, as for those of you who are college grads or high school grads, you're thinking of what's next. Maybe that means including Jesus in your future plans. And not just practically speaking, but asking Jesus, what do you want to do in me and through me in this next stage of my life? And I think that's also applicable for the rest of us, right? God, Jesus, what is it you want to do in me and through me? I want my life to be reoriented around you. What is it you want to do in me and through me? And then number two, I'd say let his love mold and shape you. Right? There's so many voices in our world, in our life, that are competing for our identity, or for our attention. But the invitation is not just let those things have the main say in what molds and shapes us, but let the love of Christ be the thing that molds and shapes us. And so maybe that's just for us reminding that as we go through life, say, God, remind me of your love. Remind me of just why it's important to be rooted in you, and let that be the thing that anchors me. Let that be the thing that I'm built on, is the love of Christ. And so here I'm gonna land the plane here in a second, but I just want to take one more moment and speak to our graduates. As you guys go in this next chapter of your journey, whether that be school, work, traveling, exploring, whatever it is, like you said before, we're so incredibly proud of you guys. We're so incredibly proud of what you've accomplished, what you're doing, and by all means, ask the questions, okay, man, what do I want to be? What do I want to do, right? Those are great questions, and continue just to wrestle through, like, what does that look like for me? But I pray that if there's any encouragement I can offer, is these two things. Like, man, let Jesus dwell in your heart. Let him have the keys to your life. Invite him to be a part of every aspect. And then let his love, the truth he says about how much he loves and cares for you, let that be your foundation. Because when everything else is changing, that won't change. And it'll never go away. He's always present with us. Because when we do that, I assure you that God will do immeasurably more than you could ever ask or imagine in you and through you. And so let that be something that sticks with you. Let these words. And that, pray that can be the same for us. And so here's my thought for the drive home as we kind of, like I said, we land the plane here. Where do you need to let Jesus have more access in your life? What are the areas that maybe you've been saying, all right, Jesus, I'll let you have these rooms, but this is not this one. Not this one's mine. Where do you need to have to let Jesus have a little bit more access and say into your life? And then just, how is the love of Jesus shaping your identity right now? Like, how are you being shaped by the love of Jesus? And maybe these are some questions you just need to, like, I need to go home, have a cup of coffee, and just, like, sit on it and think about it a little bit. And I want to encourage you to do that. Like, what do these mean to you? And even as asking, Holy Spirit, can you help me to allow Jesus to dwell more in my heart? And Holy Spirit, can you allow the love of Jesus to shape me more and more? And so here in a moment, we're going to actually have an opportunity to respond to what we've just been talking about through communion. We're going to have an opportunity to practically reflect on and think about how, you know, the love of Jesus and how that has affected us and how we can be rooted in that love. Because when we take the bread and the cup, we're remembering the love of Christ that is wide, long, high, and deep. And we're inviting him again to take up full residence in our heart. So I'm going to invite our servers to go ahead and come on up. And just a reminder, this is open for anyone who follows Jesus, man. This is an open invitation to come to the table. So I'm gonna pray for us here in a second. We're gonna have our servers on each side, and so after I'm done praying, when you feel ready, you guys can come on up. You'll be handed the elements. You'll go back to your seats, and then we'll partake of it together. I'm gonna have our servers come on up, and you guys can get ready. So we'll have Corey and Caleb on this side. We'll have Nancy and Imogen over here. While they're doing that, let me go ahead and pray. God, thank you so much for, once again, Lord, just that we get to celebrate, Lord,